And that groovy sound means it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library. And we are joined now by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I'm well, yeah. Mostly because I head up the Chapel Hill Public Library.
That's true, right? Prior to that, it was just nothing but horrors.
That's right.
Terrors, horrors, and bad,
mojo,
awful things.
Bad
mojo.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you, my friend?
Good. I'm good. Yeah.
Right on.
A short show today because women's basketball had a lot of the 3 o'clock hours, so I'm still kind of ramping up here.
And I have to say, I don't think I've ever met her in person, but if she's still listening,
yes.
Shout out to Dr. Deb Stroman.
Right?
I always enjoy listening to her when I'm coming over here. I love the conversations. I always get sort of a, even if it's, today was just kind of like a recap, mm-hmm. You know, what's happening with the teams and what's next. But every time I learn something new. So
right.
I loved how she was talking. So I will preface this show by saying, I think last year was the first year that my two boys really got into UNC basketball.
Awesome.
And we are really in it now. So the conversations that happen at our dinner table are much like the ones that you and Deb were just having. Like, you know, who's the most valuable player
right
now? Well,
yes.
It could be Luke. It could be Joel. But
that's
really
totally
it's Theo.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you. I love you. I will meet you sometime. And I love the show.
It should happen. Well, I just love the sort of vibe in that we get in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County, and kind of the whole triangle, really, where everyone wears so many different hats. Like, you go and you talk to someone, and yeah, they're an attorney or a town council member. This is their primary occupation. But they're also, like, a world-recognized expert on this totally unrelated topic. Like, you
yes.
talk to Deb Stroman. She's a professor at Carolina. She was in the business school. She's also got this, like, great history of being a women's college basketball player and a great athlete on her own right. She was a coach. She was like just won the Pioneer Award from the General Alumni Administration. And it's like it goes on and on and on, like all the things that she can speak to.
So she would be perfect for a series that I've always wanted to do, and someday I will do it.
Okay.
There's two program series that I've always wanted to do, but wait a minute. Now that I head up the Chapel Hill Public Library,
yeah.
I could just do them,
it's
right?
It's kind of incorporated into Nerd Night, too.
Well, that's,
yeah, that was
yes.
one. Yeah.
Nerd Night's kind of like this. So the two things that I've always wanted to do, and
yeah.
actually, now that you've said that, these are also super nerdy. The
one
that made me think of is I've always wanted to do a series called something like Professors Off Track. And the premise of it is, yes, you are known as being the professor of... you know,
right.
in the business school focused on blah, 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 but you're also really passionate on this other thing.
Yes.
And like having, like, I remember, and it might've been here at UNC, my husband had a German professor who was also like super, you know, world renowned professor of German, but was also like, had spent like 20 years following the dead and had like this huge collection of memorabilia from the Grateful Dead.
Okay, Grateful Dead, all right.
Oh, you're
yeah.
right, yes, yes,
like
yes.
Either the Grateful Dead or Paranormal Activity, and either way, this is going to be really cool.
There was maybe this is a German professor thing. There was another German professor who studied like, you know, late 19th century German and was also like obsessed with modern like paperback science fiction dime novels.
Oh, nice.
So I've always wanted to do that sort of,
yes
I'm a professor of this by day, and by night, this is my other
also
thing.
Also do this other thing.
And then the other series that I've always wanted to do is a Dewey Decimal Lecture Series. So the Dewey Decimal System is split up into 10 areas of knowledge.
Right.
That's what Melville Dewey
did. The 100s
did.
And the 200s yes. and the 300s, yeah.
He categorized all human knowledge in 10 areas. So I would love to bring in a speaker, like a big name speaker, in each category of the Dewey Decimal
oh,
System.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
I only need, like, you know, to bring in big name speakers, probably like $100,000.
Yeah, so thereabouts, yeah.
If you got that cool, just
yeah.
send a check to the
Chapel
Hill Public Library.
Hill. Just get on that. Yeah.
But anyways.
I love that.
But I am very much with you. I love that we live in a place where people
yeah.
have so many different interests. And one of them is almost always basketball.
Yes. My personal favorite example of this right now, like typically if you ask me, that my go-to is always Lydia Lavelle because she's mayor of Carrboro, but also law professor at NC Central. So half the time she comes on the air for our Carrboro conversation, we end up geeking out over legal stuff. My current favorite is Rachel Shavitz, who just got elected to Chapel Hill Town Council. So whenever we bring her on the air, we should bring her on to talk about Chapel Hill government stuff. She's been on the air like 3 times at this point, and we haven't even said a word about Chapel Hill Town government stuff because she's also a postdoc at UNC who studies film.
And
so she comes on and we geek out about movies. It's
and
great.
So she's in the Carolina Public Humanities with Max and
Max and all those guys.
That cast characters.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, we just nerded out about the Oscars on the air like 2 days ago. Like,
yeah, they did
to
their
do with town government, the Oscar preview thing.
Yes,
the
blue carpet thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
3 billboards got picked over Shape of Water, which I'm 100% on board with.
I still haven't seen any movies. Oh my gosh, but I did see one movie. I saw Black Panther.
Oh, it's a good movie, right? Yes.
It's so good.
It's good. Yeah.
You're not thinking, like, I'm not feeling the love from you, Aaron.
I don't have the love for Black Panther. I thought it was really good. I thought it was just as good as every other Marvel movie. Like, every time I see a Marvel movie, I'm like, yep, 3.5 stars. That's good.
So here's my thing. I'm not into the superhero movies.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen any of the Marvel movies.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Is Spider-Man a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
What's the other
Spider-Man
one?
Spider-Man counts. There's a lot.
But what's the other opposing superhero universe?
DC.
DC?
Yeah.
Isn't there like
DC
a Marvel versus DC thing?
Yeah. They haven't made crossover movies yet. But yeah, DC is like the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. That was a great movie last year.
I didn't see that either.
That's a great movie.
I should
movie.
See. Yeah, that's the one. But
that
like
was
Thor,
like the big one that everyone was talking about last year. That one I'm totally
I need to see
on
that
board
one.
With. Yeah.
But Thor and Iron Man and Ragnarok
Avengers.
And Avengers.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of those.
Okay.
But I will say, Black Panther, I went last Friday night with my family and some friends, and we all came out and we turned around and said, I would pay money
movie,
and go
right?
see it again right now.
Yeah.
We didn't.
I know a lot of people who
it.
Have. Yeah,
I
it's
loved
a good
it.
Movie. Yeah, I'm still hooked on Call Me By Your Name, though. So
I still haven't seen any of the Oscar movies.
I can't stop talking about it. I've seen it 4 times. That's
wow.
a record. That's a record for
wow.
me for seeing a movie in theaters.
But you know, Aaron Keck,
yes.
the show's not called Talking Movies with
no,
Susan
it's
Brown.
Not.
It's
it
called Talking Sports with Susan Brown.
Yes.
I mean, wait, it's not called Talking Sports with Susan Brown. It's called Talking Books with
talking
Susan Brown.
Talking Books with Susan Brown. So what
and,
are we talking about?
Well,
sports?
I suggested based in sports. We're talking sports with Susan Brown, which ought to be good. So I suggested our prompt for this week be the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, because I had a thrill this week when my beloved Virginia Tech Hokies,
mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna say the words, they beat Duke.
They beat Duke.
It was so good.
It's good, right?
I mean, so you and Dr. Stroman in the previous half hour were talking about screaming kids and,
yes.
you know,
at
the games in Cameron. My house, I'm surprised the neighbors didn't call the cops, because when the Hokies made that shot, I mean, we just went insane.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, that feeling was so good. And then last night, and we did not stay up for it. It was just too late for us, that late game. We woke up this morning.
Because
the only team that we might love a little bit more than UNC, and it's really close, are the Hokies.
Okay.
So when we woke up this morning.
So you were
going
to have this back-to-back glory.
Right. And when we woke up this morning and I had to tell the kids that the Heels lost, it was the agony of defeat. So that's our prompt, the thrill of victory,
and the agony of defeat. All right, good.
So who's going first?
You are, because I only got 2 suggestions here.
Okay.
One of which I just came up with on the fly in the last 10 seconds.
I saw
we'll
you
see
scribbling
how this goes.
Over there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I started thinking about this afternoon, and I couldn't think of novels that feature people winning. I was like, there's got to be some great fiction, but I guess that doesn't really make for a good like narrative. You know, there's like got to be some struggle or something. So anyways, I was looking around at nonfiction, and I have read his stuff before. I did not realize that it had been put, or his writing had been put into book form, but I want to recommend a book called Little Victories, Perfect Rules for Imperfect Living. And it's by a Wall Street Journal columnist named Jason Gay. So he's a wonderful writer. He writes about sports for the Wall Street Journal, but this book, it's a collection of essays. It was named, like, it was on the best of list for 2015. He had a year where he had great victory and great agony. I think he had twins, actually. He and his wife had been trying to have children, and they ended up doing fertility treatments and in vitro, and they finally had, I believe it was twins. And at the same time, his father got diagnosed with cancer and passed away with, like, in very short order. So he wrote this book reflecting on that time and the sort of that whole thing, the personal victories and the personal defeats. And he's a great writer because he writes about these sort of small moments, like a car trip or a family dinner, and they're very, very funny, even when he's writing about sad things.
Oh,
and so
cool.
I will say one of the essays in it is about, it's set at a Thanksgiving dinner, and everyone who's ever been to a family Thanksgiving dinner should read that essay. It is so good. So my first book is Little Victories, Perfect Rules for Imperfect Living by Wall Street Journal writer Jason Gay.
I like it. Really
good.
Okay. First recommendation is one that I've made before, which is Before the Storm by Rick Perlstein, which is Rick Perlstein writes for The Nation, and it was his book about the Barry Goldwater campaign in 1964 and how that took off. And he lost, but lays the groundwork for this conservative rise in the future. So I'll recommend that. However, you were like, are there any books about, like, fictional books about people winning? And I started, like, internally racking my brain, and I came up with two.
Awesome.
Just off the top of my head, just brainstorming, first one is a sports book, which was briefly my favorite book of all time when I was 8 years old or so. There's a sports author for kids named Matt Christopher, who I think is still active today.
Somebody's still writing under that name.
It could be
like V.C. Andrews.
He's published like 500 books.
Shelves and shelves of his books at the library, yes.
My favorite is one called The Year Mom Won the Pennant. That's an old one. Yeah, I mean, this is when I was eight.
Right.
So yeah,
I'm not saying you're old
now. I'm saying I'm old. It's great. It's told from the perspective of this kid. He's on a little league team that's struggling. It's the typical kid sports movie about a ragtag bunch of kids who aren't very good, and then they all come together around some adversity, and then they end up winning. In this particular case, the adversity is that something happens to their coach, and he has to quit or go away or something like that, and they don't have a coach. So, oh God, what are we going to do? But the kid's mom says, I'll take over the team, and literally as soon as she does, that's the spark that lights the fire that the rest of that line from Last Jedi. I don't know why I'm quoting that for some reason. They're the spark that lights the fire that's going to lead to the team winning the league championship. So it's a story about, you know, trials and tribulations, and there's family drama and things like that. But the team is winning through the book.
Well, and I just keep thinking of the Bad News Bears as you're talking
also,
about
right?
this.
Yeah.
Like the original one,
original
not the remake
one with Walter
that was
Matthau,
wonderfully inappropriate in a certain sense. And yes.
That's an agony of defeat movie, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very
What's
cool.
your other one?
My
or do you want to save
one,
it? Okay.
Yeah, my other one, now I can drop it now. The other one is actually a short story, but it's in a collection of short stories by Roald Dahl called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Henry Sugar, that's
Isn't
a great one.
Isn't that a great one, right? I get the second half of the story is him winning, right?
Right.
Because he goes and gambles at casinos.
Right.
And I'm not going to spoil the story, but he wins money in casinos as part of the story. But that's such a great, I mean, it's a great collection of short stories.
Yes.
Anyways, there's so many other good ones in there, but The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is a classic.
And by no means am I saying, like, I'm sure that there are many, many books out there that focus on people winning or like novels, but generally for it to be a great story, there's like got to be some loss. You've got to overcome, right?
Yes,
tragedy,
yes.
Some adversity.
And sometimes you don't overcome. Like sometimes the story ends with you not winning, because that's how, like, the great, great stories are the ones that really embrace what life is like. And sometimes life is like that. So,
okay. So I'm going to segue. I was going to do this one last, but I'm going to go ahead and go
All
there.
Right.
So sometimes you don't win
right.
in the end. Right, so a fiction novel that I may have recommended before, but I love to book talk this book. So it's a novel from 1965 by an American writer named John Williams, and the novel is Stoner. So it's kind of this cult novel, and it was re-released in the 2000s by New York Review of Books, which puts out like great kind of lost classics. So the book, it's in the sort of genre of the campus novel. So it's set on a campus and it's all about life at a college and all of that. But the main character, his name is William Stoner, and he's born on a Missouri farm at the turn of the century, of the end of the 19th century. And he's just got this kind of sad sack life. And his parents don't, you know, they're kind of Midwestern farmers. And he goes off to the state college without really any support. And he goes through school and he's fairly bright. But like, he's like the Charlie Brown kind of a character.
Right.
He falls into this sort of loveless marriage. His academic department is kind of, you know, giving him the business. He's like not happy there. Like nothing goes well for him. He finally finds this woman that he might, you know, have some actual romance and love with. And of course that doesn't turn out well. And the whole book is his sad, sad life.
God.
And yet it's like this totally compelling, beautifully written book that was sort of rediscovered in the 2000s. And it's rare that you have a American writer kind of brave enough to like see that through. Like generally they want to have the thrill of victory at the end, or they want to have some sort of a uplifting message. And it's just sad, but I recommend it to people because it's beautifully written and it's a compelling story.
I'm getting like an Ethan Frome vibe from this story, right?
Yeah, and it's been optioned for a movie. I forget who's going to play it. I'm like, oh, that's just going to be terrible. But anyway, Stoner by John Williams is a really great novel about essentially a loser.
Awesome.
I'm just going to say, a winning novel
done
about a losing man.
I like it. Flip side, there was a hot couple of years when I was growing up where I really got into baseball autobiographies, like autobiographies by baseball players. About
and that was when they all had like mustaches and big hair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Big hair, mustaches, like 5'9", 140 pounds, and
yeah,
you could be a superstar.
Yes.
My favorite in that genre, so again, we're talking like the 80s here when I was growing up, so Oral Hershiser, who
yes,
is the, yeah.
He was clean cut, wasn't he?
He was
the,
very
he was
clean
cut. Shaven,
yeah, he
right?
He was the one clean right, shaven guy on the whole team. Everyone else was like
maybe
scruggy,
he started
scraggly
that trend
guy. I think so. Wrote a book called Out of the Blue about the one year when he was great and the Dodgers won the
yes,
World Series. I like that book a lot. I haven't read it in 30 years, but it was really
you
good.
Probably
I don't know
should
if it
not
still holds
go back
up
and reread
no,
it.
No, probably not. But I remember really liking it, so I'm going to recommend that.
So I've got one more
go
author to recommend. Thinking about, again, my Hokies. Did I mention that my Hokies beat Duke?
You did mention that.
I'm not
that,
sure
yeah,
that I said it clearly. That my Hokies of Virginia Tech beat Duke
well,
this week
the, well,
in basketball.
Well, then say it clearly.
Anyways, in celebration of the Hokies' victory over Duke, it made me think about another winning Hokie, also associated with basketball and
wait,
sports.
Wait, go back. There's a
what?
Second one?
Oh, you. So that joke never gets old for you.
No.
Anyways, this is an author who we actually had here at the library about a year and a half ago. His name is Kwame Alexander, and
yes,
he is a huge name in young adult fiction. He's won the Newbery, and he's got a ton of books, but several of them are set in sports. A couple of them are set in basketball. There's one called The Crossover that's great. That's a novel that's written in verse and like hip-hop kind of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one called The Playbook. And I think The Playbook is great because it's sort of little pieces of wisdom, words to live by, anecdotes, snippets, truths about life and sportsmanship and how to get through the world told from the framework of basketball. And they're just beautifully done. They're really, really different. So I highly recommend Kwame Alexander, another winning Hokie.
Awesome.
that's all I've got.
That's all we got. Awesome. That was great.
There you
Susan
go.
Susan Brown, thank
you
so much.
See you next week.